Simon Tov Memchaz, Sif Gimel, Mr. Burr, Sif Katan Yud Gimel. So that if you give it to the Goy as a Matana Gemura, and if he wants to give it back to you after Pesach, that's his business. That's fine, that's Mutter. If the guy doesn't want to give it back to you, this is the case where he gave it, he sold the term and gave it to him before Pesach. So also lisoya oisa b'dineim or lochiv oisa b'shar ketifius. You can't force him. It's sold. It's his, he can do whatever he wants with it. In losa l'rak mixas ha'domim, if he only paid partial payments, v'hashar zokav alav b'milva, and the rest he left as a debt that he owes the money, v'en arotz l'shalom loy hamash, he's refusing not to pay the remainder, then he can either take him to court, he should pay the remaining money which is owed on the sale. Or alternatively, that the goy can give the chametz back give the chametz to the Jew as payment for the money that he owes. So either one of those would work, which is basically what we do. He's saying over here you can even take it to court if necessary.
So then he should give back only part of it since he already gave some money.
That is true. Usually when you collect on a debt, you collect an item on a debt, the value of the item is not given full value vis-a-vis the debt. Right? When they foreclose on somebody's house, the house is worth $300,000 on the market, the bank takes it as there's 150 and says, well, tough luck on you, you know. So, but theoretically, the amount that he pays usually, what the guy pays beforehand usually is about $5. So, that doesn't really make too much of a dent in the actual valuation of the chayv, which is due. And
so you're saying that I don't have to worry that was my chametz that.
it was his. That, right. So this is a great idea. You know, if I'm competing, in number one has this really good whiskey, which has been bringing a lot of customers in, and I'm the competing in down the street, and I couldn't get that good whiskey. So after Pesach, I run over to the goy and say, I'll buy it off of you, you know. Right? She can't do that. If he does buy it, he would have to give it back to the original owners. If he paid the goy more than the actual, you know, value for it, which more than was correct to give. But if he can say, in Tzarek L'Hatzer, Lo Yela B'Shir Shiroi Losses. The Jew number one, who could have bought it back. Remember, they were doing this sale actually at full value. It was a full value sale. It's referring to the case of the Jew sold to the Goy for $1,000. After basically, the Jew paid the $1,000 back to the Goy and bought it back. Fine. Meanwhile, Jew number two stepped in and bought it for $1,200. So he comes to Jew number one and says, why pay $1,200? He says, tough luck. Here's $1,000. And end the conversation. So the Jew only has to be... He's mechuyev to give it to the Jew number one. Can't keep it. Jew number one is mechuyev to reimburse him, but not what he paid, but rather how much was roy to pay. Now, where does this come from? What's the logic behind this? Really, the Jew sold it, the chametz to the goy. It's the goy's chametz. The goy can do whatever he wants with it. So, what's the source for this? So. So the Chachamim discuss this issue in the Sefer Mekor Chaim, which is from the Nesibis, has kashas on what they're saying. Because there's no logical reason to say that this should be true. So how does it make sense? The truth is, Mishabur says, it's not something which is going to be based on straight halacha. This was institution, something was instituted by the Gedolim to protect the system, that the system should work. Otherwise, there are going to be abuses of the system to the point that we undermine the system. So they stepped in and said, you can't sell to any other Jew rather than the original Jew. She was Masses Binyamin. The source for this halacha is in the tshuva from the Masses Binyamin. He was one of the Rishonim. Yolav lo mehahidas sikarikun. He learns it out from the dinner sikarikun. Sikarikun was is a Gemara in Gittin in the fifth parak that the goyim would come under threat of death, force the Jews to sell to them their property, their karka, etc., and then they would resell it. So Chazal made a takana, Sikarikim was a takana, that whoever buys it from the goy is mechuyev to return it to back to the original owner. The original owner will reimburse him. So the original owner really lost out the money, but at least he got his karka back. But the amount that he reimburses him is not the amount that necessarily he paid to the Sikarikim, but the amount would be roy to pay. So Mishnah Berurah says that that based on that, the amount of money he would have to reimburse him would only be the amount that's right to pay. Fine. Now, Zat Sharetzi, and I'll take it a step weiter. I'll give you an argument why, halachically, maybe it is also. It's not just a tekana, but actually there could be a halachic basis for it. There's a law called Oni Mahabit Bechorora. Oni Mahabit Bechorora is a Gemara in Gittin, beginning of the third, excuse me, Gemara Kedushin, beginning of the third parak. The scenario over there, actually, the Gemara applies it to a case of purchasing a piece of land. And I think it was Rav Gittel was attempting to buy a piece of land. Somebody was trying to buy a piece of land, and Rav Gittel wasn't aware of it, and Rav Gittel came along and made an offer to the person who was selling it and bought it instead. Where the person already had been involved in transactions, it was already being so they went to me. Don't you accept halacha when Ani is attempting to acquire this food, chavar being a food from the balabayas? Another Ani is not allowed to step in and take and compete for the food. And if he does, it's called a rosher. So don't you realize that what you did was rishus? So I wasn't aware that there was somebody else attempting. Okay, so he says, so I want to buy it from you. He said, I want to sell it because Chazal said that a person sells the first purchase that he makes of karka to Simon Ra. So I don't want to sell it, but I want to use it because I don't want to take it away from you. So I'm going to give it to his matana. He says, I don't want to take a matana because I don't want to send a matana shiach yet. So the Mora says, you ended up with this situation that they basically were mafker and they allowed all the tamidim of the yeshiva to use the property. Because he didn't want to take his matana. He didn't want to sell it. He didn't want to keep it. He didn't want to, you know. So they called Arjur, but the Mora says. But the Mora presents this idea called Ani Mahapim Beferora, when Ani is attempting to acquire something. No, it's lot of Afghanani. It means when a person is involved in attempting to acquire something, we shouldn't step in and precede him.
Where is that Gemara?
It's the beginning of the third parak in Kedushin. It's the first time that it says Nun Tes Amun Aleph in Kedushin. There is a Machlokes Rashi and Tosis there. Tosis is Machadish, and here's the big Chiddush of Tosis, that this halacha is only true in a case of the Tosis's example is, his point is that the person has not acquired it yet. So really, and I have a need for it, an interest in it also. So what's stopping me? Tosis says, in a chanami, the point of stopping you is because why are you going after this one, go somewhere else and get a different one. But in a chanami, something which is impossible to get somewhere else, I'm allowed to take. So Tosis holds. There's no problem with that. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says, no, even that's an area we can't take. So the example which Rashi and Tosis held in the Gemara, Rashi in the case of Gemara was the person, only found the Metziah. Walking along, he found some chororas, food. He found food. So he didn't do a kinyan on it yet. He was about to do a kinyan, but he didn't do a kinyan on it yet. In other words, he says, I need it also. So Rashi says, that's the case of the Gemara. But even though you can't say, well, go find a different Metziah, food somewhere else, you can't say that. There isn't food available in the streets just like this, you know. Rashi says, you still can't take it away from him. Tosis says, in that scenario, you would be allowed to take it. The case was, if he went to a balabais, he was attempting to convince balabais to give him something. So, and this guy comes in and says, you know, and calls the same balabais, says, you know, find somebody else. If you're ready, you're ready convincing somebody, and you're putting effort into convincing somebody to give to you, go to the guy next door and convince him. You're like, why are you bothering? In other words, that's more available somewhere else, potentially. So that's where it applies, according to Tosis. But the Mishnah Berurah is saying over here in this scenario where the person was, it was, I mean, there was some level of an unspoken understanding and agreement. I mean, this is what's going to happen. That after basically he's going to give it back to him, sell it back to him, etc. So it would be equivalent to a case of Anu HaPakarur, which which of course everybody would be prohibited to do. Like, in other words, it's not really available to anybody else. This was the chametz that I needed, etc. You can't tell me, listen, let me buy this chametz, you go find someone else's chametz. Like, what does that mean? You know, who else is going to necessarily give to me? Especially which it was done under this understanding, so that would be going to that din. So that's why it would be also to do it. Now, but the Yavid works, the Kenyan works. So the more he's saying over here, you have to return it. So in other words, the Isser is on the Quran. That which you're to turn it is based on Sikarikun. The din of Sikarikun. More over there in Gittin, in the fifth parak. That they made the Takana when they would buy from the murderers, the character of the murderers, that they would have to return it to the original owner. It wasn't only over there. That halacha applies. Person buys from a ganav yidua. Person buys from somebody she knows is a ganav. So Chazal said you have to return it to the owner if you find out who the owner is, but you could ask him for the money that you paid. You're not looking for the owner for free. So that the halacha applies over there also. Okay, you dial it. Levashi yinenoloi, you have to give it to the guy, but matana gemura belishim tonight. You give it to the goy through a shliach, which is what we do. We make the rav a shliach. When you go to the rav before Pesach, you're not selling your chametz to the rav. It's your chametz still. What you're doing is you're appointing him as shliach to sell the chametz for you. And when you sign the document when you're signing is called a shtar harshah. Harshah is the language of rishus. You're giving him rishus to act on your behalf. And the kinyan you're doing, the Rama says there's really no room for the no need for the kinyan per se, because there's no transaction taking place. Amina Shechus does not need a kinyan. The Rama says that the minig was that the Rama and Hilchos Mechira that in order to indicate I really mean this, we do a kinyan suitor. So the kinyan is it. B'di'evid, you can do away with the kinyan. So therefore, there are many places which hold that you could appoint. So where you can't get the rav, you could appoint the rav over the phone. As your shliach. There's no kinyan taking place. We don't need a kinyan. Like,
now people,
it.
Their places do it over the
internet. Which you don't have an option of getting to a rav. That would be valid. It's actually by a rav. But that being said, if it's possible to do it directly, you should do it directly. I remember once I'd sold, and I realized that I was in a different city in a different time, with different times, and I'd acquired new chametz. I had sold over there, so I realized this the morning of Erev Pesach, somewhere in the area of about four and a half hours into the day. So I called the Rav. So can I? He says we're actually doing the bechira right now. Come over. So as opposed to letting me be doing the meeting over the phone, he said, since you're here, you should come over. Mm-hmm. So I got there and did a harshah, and then he, I think it was the last chametz sold, you know, put into the pot.
Same.
Okay. Now, yachal haktas al chametz l'nach. You can sell through your shliach or ishtar through your wife. Avolah yedei akum. You can't appoint a goy to act as your agent. The goy can't act as your shliach, and therefore the sale is not valid. You can't sell it to the agent of the goy. If I'm selling it to goy number one, but he says he can't show up, he's going to send goy number two to do a kinyan for him. It won't work, because no, the shliach is by a goy. So it comes out two is not taking for himself, because he doesn't want to buy it. Number one didn't get it, because there's no valid transaction, so it's not sold. The Rebbe's Torah Shlichus Ela BeYisrael. Torah wrote the halachic validity of Shlichus only applies to between Jews. If the goy is a goy to a goy, then Shlichus LaAkum Ben MeAkum LeYisrael Ben MeAkum LaAkum. Now the reason why he's stressing that is the Gemara learns out that the goy is excluded from the council of Shlichus from the Pasuk Atem Gam Atem. And it goes like this, Ma Tem Bnei Bris, Ashukachem Bnei Bris, just like you're part of the Bris, I mean, you're part of the Jewish people, your Shlich has to be the same also. So the word Gam is Marba, you can do it right through a Shlich.
Okay.
And the Pasuk writes the two together in one Pasuk, which is called a Hekish. Again, the Torah could have written so much, it's a Pasuk by Truma. It says, Kein Terimu Gam Atem. So should you take Truma, also you. Gamatem was also, you say you. You can't read more tem, that's how you should take Truma. So the word Gam is extra. So the more beginning of the second paragraph in Kedushin says, the word Gam would come with the Marba Shliach. Then it takes a step back and says, well, now the Torah wrote Shliach and you right next to each other. It's a Hekish. Right? It's written in the same Pasuk, it's called a Hekish. The Torah is being Makish, the Shliach, to you. Just like you were part of the Jewish people, your Shliach is part of the Jewish people, a Goy can't be a Shliach. So there's an argument to say, that halacha is when you are a Jew, you can't have a shliach who's a goy. But if the person who's appointed a shliach is a goy, so the shliach is the same as him. It's atem gam atem. The gam and the atem are the same. They're both the same. They're both goyim. So maybe that should be.
That sounds like it. Does that actually seem? He's suggesting that that would actually be more of a minute to say that would work than a Jew being a shliach for a goy.
Correct. That's what he's saying. So the Mishmur is saying that that's not true. The Pshat in the Pasuk was, the Pasuk is coming to introduce the new concept called Shlichus. The Torah gives it in the scenario of you with another Jew. And that's all I have. I don't have anything else. So I can't suggest, well, maybe the Torah would agree to this also. That's true. Maybe it wouldn't, but the Torah didn't say it. So I can't make it up if it doesn't exist. So there's no other Shlichus from one goy to another goy. Now he brings over here that there actually is an opinion in the Pesach which holds that it does work going to a goy. Now, however, the one thing he does point out is the exclusion of a goy from shlichus is to act as a proxy. To act as what's called in halacha a ma'aser kof ba'alma, something which an animal could do. Right, a delivery boy can be a goy. That's not a problem. So, if Jew is selling the chametz to the goy A, and goy A is unavailable, but he's going to do a real bona fide transfer of the chametz to the goy A's possession, which is what the Shulchan Aruch was talking about. So he asked goy number two, take this to goy number one, that's fine. He's not a shliach for the kinyan. He's a delivery boy. And then when the goy gets it, so the goy will do a kinyan of hagbo or whatever kinyan of the goy is supposed to do, he'll do himself. But the number two is not acting as a representative, as the agent.
He's not acquiring it on his behalf.
He's not doing the kinyan for him. He's not, right? He's just doing delivery. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about over here that you're asking the goy number, the second goy, to act as his proxy in his stead and do the kinyan. That you can't do. That has relevance all the time. The person would say, shlichus by get. Right? So the man is living in Los Angeles, the woman is living in D.C. So the man goes to the bezin in Los Angeles and he writes up the get. And he appoints somebody in Washington, D.C. to deliver the get on his behalf. He makes a shliach to give the get. Okay, how do you get the get here? They mail it. So you're using a goy as a shliach to deliver a get. That's not shlichus. That's delivery service. The act of serving the get on the woman into the woman, that's an act of a maisa of a haknoah that needs a shliach, and it obviously would have to be a Jew. But the act, the Rosh says that the act of acting as the courier boy, that's not a problem.
Can But another, can another Jew be maknet? It, you know, it, in the case of chametz, where it's considered, you know, it's something that's that he would, the goy would want. So can he be? Can one Jew be maknet to the owner of the chametz? Be maknet to another Jew on the goy's behalf to acquire it? Second, to acquire it on his behalf.
What, can the Jew become the shliach for the goy?
Is that becoming a shaliach to be maknet to another Jew on the goy's behalf? Is that the same as being a shaliach?
That would work based on the schia. I mean, schia through parsha schia, he's representing the goy.
So that wouldn't work.
So now the Mishnah Berurah says, the Shulchan says that you have to give it to the goy matana gemura, and you can't give it to him as matana manas lahachzer. You give it to him. And then whatever happens afterwards, you know, he might not give it back to you in the case of giving it to him. Now, what kenyan do you do? You use by matana. So you can't use kenyan kesef because he's not buying it. Kenyan matana al yedei hagbo, a meshicha dar b'shiyav shel hagbia. Either he acquires it by the act of lifting it up, or something which is too heavy to lift, too large to lift. Chazal said meshicha is sufficient. So what we're saying over here is the reason why I'm saying this is we're going to see in the Mishnah Berurah shortly. There's a long discussion amongst the poskim. What is the correct tinyan to use when you're selling the chametz to a goy?
If you're talking about something that's too heavy to eat, shicha means you move it a little bit, right?
Right.
What are you talking about? Something that's too heavy.
Okay, so we'll see. So that's a little bit of a challenge. But his point being that those kinyanim are all kinyanim for. He's going to talk about in a moment Alkinyanim for Mechira, but over here is a Matzana. So what's the issue? The issue is the Gemara has a Machlokes. What is a valid Kinyan for a Goy? Is Mashiach is Hagbo / Mashiach a valid Kinyan or not? But he's saying that whole argument is only by case of a sale, where there's an option of the Goy can do the Kinyan with money, etc. But in a case where there's no other option because it's a Matzana and there's no consideration being given. Not a Kenyan suitor, not money. It's not an exchange. It's a present. So then the Kenyan, then everybody agrees over there the Mashiach, the Hagbah / Mashiach is a valid Kenyan. So that I don't have to do anything more. I've done what I have to do. Right. So if I take Erev Pesach, I go to my neighbor. See here, you know, here place to take this chametz. So the guy says, "Great." He takes it out of my hands and puts it in his fridge. So he did Hagbah. He held it in the air. Right, so, or put the, or whatever. So that's fine. He did a Kenyan. I'm not selling it to him. I'm giving it to his matana. There's no question that would be a valid Kenyan. Belishum said, I don't make any conditions. Why do you want to make conditions? The Shem Yavra, not real tonight. Tibotal matana, afraid of overall by your law. Kill the commandment, sift out. You don't want to make a condition because if the guard doesn't keep the condition, you're up the creek. An example of this, by the way, is one of the questions. The question that we have, the issue of copyrights. So one of the suggestions that some people suggested, which the poskim immediately said it's a bad idea, says, you know, I sell this person my software on this condition that they doesn't copy it, make it tonight. So he can't copy. If he copies it, it comes to the sale is invalid. And he's a ganav. Right? That's pretty good, right? Sounds like a great idea. There's only one problem. If the sale's not valid, I owe him the money back. So what are you going to do? You can go find out the guy did it and give him the money back. You're also a ganav. You're using his money illegally. So it's a very bad idea. So making a tanai, you know, leaves you sometimes with. So if you make it tonight, that's where the goy, you know, if you don't pay back, if you don't sell me back the chometz after Pesach, within 3 days, the sale is null and void. Okay, shkoyach. So the goy doesn't sell it back. The sale is null and void, and you own chometz and Pesach. So you don't make it tonight. Hashem kuren oloi. Mechira gemur v'davim wood. You sell him, or you sell to him a full sale, sifkat yud zayin, with a small amount of payment. Now, it's interesting that the Mishnah Berurah will tell us that nowadays our custom is that we actually sell it for the very close to the full value. But what we do is we take a down payment, and the rest we take as debt that he owes. But the case of the Shulchan Aruch was that he just actually was selling it to the guy, the Ramuot. In other words, he wasn't assessing it at $10,000, taking $5 as the down payment. He's saying, listen, I'll pay you $5 for all the time. So the Mishnah Berurah is going to raise the question, why does it go into the rules of Oinah? If a person seriously overcharges or underpays for an item, the sale is considered invalid. With many different ramifications. One of the issues which I don't see a good header for it. You know, these people that the antique dealers that they make their money by going to a lot of the money they make by going to these attic sales, rummage sales, etc.
They find
metzias, right? Probably you have a din of bittul mekach in that situation, because if the seller was not aware of the value of the item, and you are, you're taking advantage of his lack of knowledge to buy from him under price. So even though he agreed to that price, that would have a pasha of din of oinah. So you have to inform him, by the way, what you think you're selling for $5 is a Tiffany lamp and it's worth $1,000.
Now people know about Antique Roadshow.
Antique?
It's a show where people bring, they go into different cities,
yeah,
and people bring their things that they think might be worth something to experts.
Uh-huh, okay.
And then they, the interesting ones they show on television.
So, now, I might still be inclined to sell it to him for a good price, not $5, because nobody else is going to believe me. Next guy says, listen, I want $1,000 for that lamp, because it's a Tiffany lamp. Says, it's right, but you have to take a walk. Who are you? But this guy's an expert. How can I know that it's true? He'll say, I'll pay you $400 for it. He goes, okay, I'll sell it for $400, but it's worth $1,000. I'm not going to sell it for $5. I'm not going to sell, So there's a problem of bittul mekach in that situation. So why doesn't it apply over here? So that's only because you don't know that it has a greater value, and therefore you're selling it under value. Seriously, it's being seriously underpaid for. It's selling under value unknowingly. So that's called a bittul mekach. The sale is null and void because it was done in a way which was not fair to the seller. But in a case where the seller knows it's worth more and makes a decision that it's worth it for me to sell anyway at this price, that's his prerogative, that's not a problem with the Mecca. Okay, so Mishnah Berurah said, Oshim Kriyan Ulo, you're done. Basic Kriyanim Kana Akim, which Kriyanim work? Yesh is a deus ben a Paiskim, there are different opinions amongst the Paiskim. Yesh Mishar, the Kriyanim Shal Akim, Hu Bekesef Dafka. So there's a Gemara, there's a Mechazin Gemara between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan says, that the Vartara by a Jew, Kesev is Kaina, Midaraisa, by Metaltalin, the Chazar Masakan, it doesn't work. And by Goy, the Kenyan is Mashiach. The more is Vadaik from a Pasuk that a Kaina Mead Amisecha, that the Kenyan from a Jew and the Kenyan from a Goy are different Kenyan. So if the Jew, Midaraisa, the Kenyan is Kesev, then by Goy, the Kenyan is Mashiach. If by Jew, Kesev is not kind of metal to Midaraisa, which is Lokas Yeshita. So Midaraisa, a Jew, if I give you money to buy an item, I do not own the item. If it's kark, I own it, not as metal to him. If it's real property, Kesev is a valid Kenyan for real property, real estate, which means kark or anything attached to kark or the house, etc. But anything which is movable, which is not attached to the ground, be it a car, be it whatever it is, Rabbi Yochanan's Kesef Midaraisa is Kaina. Chacham will remove that Kenyan for various reasons. Rish Lakish holds the Midaraisa Kesef is not Kaina in that situation, only Mashiach is Kaina. Mashiach Agbo, something of that sort.
Where is this discussion?
Where is this Machlokes? It's the Machlokes, it's the word in Becharis. The discussion over there, of course, is selling the animal to the Goy. Therefore, when he gives birth to the Bechor, it's not Chayv and Bechorah. So you want to sell it with a, what's called a valid sale. So that's one place. That's a place which comes to mind. It's a few places in Shas. That's one that pops in my head right now. It's according to, if you pass on the Reish Lakish in that situation, we hold me to rice. So the kesef is kind of goy is kind of a kesef. Yisrael is kind of a shicha by betalton. The goy is kind of a kesef. So some say that it's kesef dafka, and he brings over there, that's Rashi sheet. That's how we paskin. Some say the opposite, which is Tosha Sheet over there, had a Paschim in that Gemara. We pass like the other one in the Gemara, then no, a Jew is kind of a Kesav in a Raisa, and a Goy is kind of a Mashiach, the Raisa, not with Kesav. So you'd have to either do Mashiach, which means pull the item towards himself, or Hagbor, lift the item up, Dabar Shef shall be, if it's possible. The Hagbor only applies to items which are physically normal to lift. So even though if I'm, you know, this very strong person, I can lift items which are very heavy, and I'm chuyev to, because if it's not there to pick it up, there's no din of hagbo.
You got a closet full of chametz.
We're getting there.
Okay, we're getting there. This is a seems like it. This kinyan chatzir. Is everybody agree to that?
Let's see what Mishnah Berurah says.
Okay.
Okay, so this is what you have based on the Gemara over there. V'yesh kasuoy the gam shari kinyanim noigim alakum. There are other kinyanim which are noig by goy. Kigoyin kinyas metalton agav karka. There's a kinyan called agav. So when I'm selling to a Jew a piece of property, I can say when you go down to the kinyan of the property, which would be chazaka or shtar or kesef, together with being kind of the karka, you mean kind of items X, A, B, and C. And we paskin, if I recall correctly, the more it has a shaila in Baba Kama in the first parak, does agav require, does a sugi of agav and not yadalf, I'm a base and your base on alf, does agav require that the item should be in the property? And we paskin, it doesn't need to be. So I can look at you in agav, I'm selling you this piece of land and that car over there, even though the car is not on the piece of land. Mm-hmm. That's fine. And so the kinyan works. When I do a kinyan on the car, I acquire the car also. That's kinyan agav. So what you do is you sell the goy a little piece of karka, and he's kind of the karka. He's kind of the chametz. The kinyan chotzer. Some say the kinyan chotzer works by goy. So if we put the item in the goy's into the goy's possession, so the goy's kind of a kinyan chotzer. It's in his property.
Or if you sell him the place in your house where the chametz is.
So that's how we do it. One of the ways we do it is if you sell him the piece of property, now it's his property, he'll be kind of the chametz which is there also. Kinyan chalipin, Tanya kinyan siddur. Kinyan chalipin is an exchange. Chalipin is to be machlis, sometimes it's exchange. Tanya kinyan siddur, which that's the understanding of what we call kinyan siddur. So two ways to do. Kinyan chalipin. One is a like kind, I think it's called. Same value exchange. I give you, which they bartering. So I come in and I have 100 eggs, and and you have 50 pounds of flour. I say, listen, I'll give you 100 eggs. You give me 50 pounds of flour, we exchange. So that's a kinyan deraisa. If I give you the eggs, you are kind of the eggs, the flour is mine immediately, even though I haven't touched it yet. Okay, that's one form of kinyan chalipin, which is it's equal exchange. Then there's also what's called kinyan suter, which is also a form of an exchange. That you're giving me the suter, and in exchange for getting the suter, I'm going to give you the three fields.
Even though it's not at all value.
So even though it's not a value, because I'll enough based on a pasuk, but that works also. Pasuk and ruz actually. He says to him, Yisrael, al gula v'tzimura, the kaim called Zavar, shalim v'shnalav, and son of Re'eyu. So the Chazal Darshan, that the act of giving the shoe was this type of kinyan. So that's also a valid type of kinyan. So it's called kinyan suter. So the way kinyan suter works is the person who's buying it gives me the suter. I lift up the suter and I'm kind of the suter. This is now my suter. In exchange for me getting the suter, I have been makted to him property X. item X. So that works by Goy according to this opinion. El Hitzorach Lizorb is that she has Surah Shalak Akum. Now, Kenyan Surah only works if it's the item which is being given for the Kenyan belongs to the one who's giving it. So there is an exception, and that's the case where you're doing, sometimes we have the Edim give the Surah instead. Now, how does that work? It works based on Shlichus. Well, Goy doesn't have Shlichus. So you sometimes you'll see some Masadri Kedushim when they write the Ksuva, or they write the Tanoim, essentially they write the Ksuva. The Ksuva is that we do a Kenyan Siddur with the husband, the Chosan, that he's been Mechai himself in all of the items which are stated in the Ksuva. So he's committing to all those things, and that he's doing the commitment through a Kenyan Siddur. So who gives him the Siddur? So you'll see some places that the Masada Kedush will give the Siddur, some places that the Edom will give the Siddur. So that works, that they can give the Siddur. So it doesn't work by Goy. Has to be the Goy who's giving his own handkerchief. Theoretically, the person which would give the handkerchief over there would be the woman. The Kala would give the Chosan the Siddur, in exchange for the Siddur, she got back that he owes her all the commitments of the Ksuba. Right? So the Edom are acting as the Shliach of the woman, through a concept of shlichus, to give the Siddur in her place.
So she doesn't even have to know about that. It could be Zolchel Shiloba
Bafana. Yeah. Right. Well, Saga Shadi, Akinyan Yitno Siddurim, Kamabi Yisrael, Zayan Alamitam, Schia, Shemazakan Lamakna, Makabi Akum, and then Schia, as we hold Schia's Matam Shlichus, since it's a situation which is beneficial for you, you should own the Siddur and then have the transaction. So, I can step in and use my item through basic concept of Schia as if it was yours. But that's only true by Jew, that they're not in Schia by God. So these are not good Kinyanim. So that's a problem. So he goes to each one of them on the bottom who raises the question. So the Agav is challenged by the Tumim and the Ksois. And the Masada Shekel, Chotzer, he brings to the Sefer Emunah Shmuel, Chalipin, the Shach himself already asked the question, that they seem to raise doubts about these Kinyanim. So Bizman, they were actually transporting the Chometz out of the Shus of the Yisrael into the Shus of the Goy, so it was very easy. It was Kinyan Meshicha, Kinyan Kesev. But nowadays, you know, like we're giving large tremendous. It's not Shaykh Mashiach.
It's all over the place.
It's all over the place, etc. And he's got to get it all done before the sixth hour. So what do we do? But you have to do a Kenyan, which everybody holds agrees. The agrees that works. The best two that we do, Kesef and Mashiach, that's going to be clear. No, that'll work like everybody. Because either Kesef works and Mashiach doesn't, and Mashiach works and Kesef doesn't. Do both. You're great. That's really the Chachila. Those two for sure work. Most places in Pascha, the Mashiach is sufficient. Why? There's a punchline over here in this mission, which is very important. This is what, you know, saying this whole idea of Mechiras Chometz sounds weird. So the mission is like this. The truth is, the Torah said it's not really yours anymore.
The question is, are you sincere?
The Chometz, when it comes Pesach, you don't really own it anymore because Yisrael, no, you don't own Yisrael, no.
It's just that it's attributed to if you didn't have the proper.
But El Shasa Kosov, Kilo Hayy Bashusa, Lavrala, the Torah gives you responsibility as if you own it to your Neveir. And that we say. So as long as I indicate I don't want to own it truly, that's equivalent of making it like being mafkered or being mavatalit. So I'm not a rabbi anymore. then any minimal kinyan is sufficient. The kaponim megaladaita the lo nichalei b'akir rishusay. He said, I don't want it. Then I'm getting out of my rishus. So that is the logic behind the reason why we accept the whole idea of mechiras chametz, which sounds like somewhat like a haroma, because what it all is this idea of showing that I really don't want to be over this derais, and that's sufficient. Now, welcome to the Hakdas, but Mashiach Kunja Khamas Ruba Shubaderek. A case where Mashiach is not an option, either if he's not present or because it's a large amount of Khamats, you've really come here, we'll still talk about that. So we are not finished with this Sif yet. Okay.